Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us this morning. Lord, we have already many things to thank you for what you have done today. We ask you now, your Holy Spirit may guide us, may open our eyes and our ears to hear and to be able to receive your word in our hearts, Lord, so that it may empower us and transform us according to your will. We praise you and thank you in advance, believing, Lord, that all the things you have done for us, Lord, may start to materialize in our life more and more, so that your will be done in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been looking at God's way in different aspects of it. And really today what I'm going to start expanding in the direction that help us to really see the will of God in our life. Lots of people ask, you know, what's the will of God for me? Well, you know, if we don't know it, you know, we are not connected enough with him. If we are wondering, there is something that has to develop yet. And really the things that, to understand what that is, the will of God, okay, we have to understand God and the adoption system. See, he has a system actually in place for our adoption, which is much better than the adoption system that they have for children that need parents. Okay. Because it doesn't just try to allocate somebody and just hope that the things is functioning. God has a really ongoing system to bring people from where they start to where he wants them to be. And he's helping us all along, from the beginning to the end. And the plan is the same for everybody, but not everybody follow the plan. And so they don't see the manifestation of what God wants. And that really, you know, has a lot of factors coming into the picture, and I'm going to look at that, you know, in detail. It's going to take more than 1 week. Okay. This is a really important topic, a topic that when we grasp on makes all the difference. At some time, you know, in the past was considered something, you know, was not even considered. Well, not even, you know, people say, you know, this is far too far-fetched. But really, they didn't understand because the time weren't there. See, God does everything with a certain timing. He works and has a plan, and he's a planner, and he plans everything. But you see, the way his plans work is not the way we plan, you know, he knows all the detail. He has all the information that he needs to have at every moment, you know, present, past, every time. You know, his decisions are according to what's going on. Each person is has free will, can make decisions, can take steps. You know the step before, but you know, everything works together according to his plan. Not everybody follow his plan. And that's the thing. That's what makes a difference. But he knows that too. He can deal with that situation as well. And he gets his way anyway. Can't beat him. Nobody can. And you know, the rulers of this world thought that they could. Even, the devil thought that he could do it. And he is really the greatest defeater, the thing that you can never imagine, because he doesn't know what he's preparing himself for. Okay? Anyway, see, but the interesting thing, there are, you know, God doesn't need to do too much, because he has done, you know, he put in place, he intervened in what's going on, a special time. Doesn't need, you know, most of the things he doesn't even need to touch, because he has set up order and laws and principles according to which things works. But just the laws and principles are not enough. Sometimes he has to actually intervene. And this is one of the things that we had to intervene with, okay? It's, you know, in happening, starting this program. But actually, the program has been going on from the very beginning. He was the one who created Adam. Adam messed it up. And then he's fixing up what Adam did over a period of time, according to a certain plan that he has. And sometimes for certain things took many, many centuries. And we are in a special phase of his plan that we have to understand. But the plan, you know, a critical time was when Jesus was born. Okay, that was probably the major change that took place from the moment when Adam fell. Because up to that time, people were struggling in different things. There were some people following God, but the preparation, you know, wasn't ready. The environment was not ready. Man was not ready to hear the message. When Jesus came, it's because he said, now is the time. It's the first coming. The second coming that is coming soon, is it going to be another of those now time in which he intervenes? Okay? And in the period in which this, you know, this intervention happened, you know, what happens is the different things take place to prepare the situation so that there is the, you know, what he wants to happen can happen, you know, without his intervention. Here it says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, you know, when the time was really prepared, I mean, you know, when everything was set up the right way, God sent his son, born of a woman, and born under the law. Up to that moment, what was governing, what was directing people, what was giving direction to people was the law. I mean, Moses and, you know, the other prophets and so on have put together, you know, the rules according to which they had to operate, which are actually say, just do this, don't do that, be careful, you know, but it was always physical. See, the Old Testament is always physically oriented. It's always dealing with things on the way you look outside, but that's not the way God looks at things. God looks at things in the spirit, according to the heart of people, not according to the external evidences of what happens on the physical. And it wouldn't work. If you look at the physical, you cannot know if somebody does a certain thing for the right reason or the wrong reason. Okay, you can be praising God just to show up that you are religious. Okay, and doesn't do any good to you anyway. Jesus explained it very, very, very well many times. So the idea is, you know, that at that time something changed. Jesus came so that we can start looking at things not the way men look at things with the physical eye, but we can look at things the way God look at things with the spiritual eyes. Okay. So it goes on, say here, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, I mean, to set them free, to buy them back, okay? That we may receive the adoptions as sons. So this is where the adoption system became more evident. And it became more explained through Jesus, okay? The idea is, you know, that there is a moment in which people could enter into God's plan and establish a relationship with him under this adoption covenant. Okay? So, the interesting thing, so that it says here, redeem those who were under the law, that means were before, but we, that we might receive And the word receive there is apolambano, which actually means, okay, to take back, to receive in full. Evidently, before didn't have in full, and that's why Jesus had to come. Okay? They had only, you know, some external information that was given to them because they didn't want to have the whole thing when God offered it to them. Okay, so the adoption is here, you know, already receive the adoptions as son. Now, there are two categories of people. You know, people say, well, everybody is a children of God. Well, that's absolutely unscriptural. Okay, Jesus himself said it very clearly. When he spoke to the Pharisees, he revealed the truth about that situation. The Pharisees were religious, were observing the law, were doing everything that they could do, or they thought they could do. But they didn't have understanding. They didn't have the ability to know what was right and what was wrong. And Jesus said to them, you know, there was a discussion there between them about, you know, that they were the sons of Abraham. You know, who do you think you are with Jesus? And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded from God. Now I have come of myself. I have not come by myself, but he sent me. So, you know, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. See, why are you? The point is, they weren't able to listen to the things that Jesus was saying because they had a problem in the hearing ability. It wasn't the physical ability, it was the spiritual ability they didn't have, and what he was getting wasn't getting through to them. Okay? They heard it very well. I didn't like it because it was not according to what they wanted. Okay? So, and then goes on explaining even more. Okay, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. So he's telling them, you are sons of the devil. You see, there is this thing was used and then, and it was, you know, that was the way, you know, they were, a person is the son of somebody when they are lined up with this person at the level of the heart. If we are, you know, if our heart is aligned with the devil, then we are sons of the devil. If our, you know, heart is lined up with God, then we are sons of God. Now that is kind of theoretical and a kind of abstract, but there is much more there than this. You know, there are degrees and there are things. So I'm going to read some more here, and we're going to get into really the understanding of what that position of being children and sons of God is. Okay. Because this, you know, the sonship, becoming sons of God, is actually God's adoption plan. Okay. He wants to adopt that. His desire, you know, he created Adam was the son of God. He created Adam. But Adam lost the sonship because he died spiritually, because he obeyed and submitted himself to Satan. So he became, according to that, the son of Satan. Everybody that is not born of God is influenced by the mentality and the thinking of the devil. That's why they're calling, you know, these religious people sons of Satan or sons of the devil. Okay, you have to understand that and understand what it means. Okay? So, says, wait a minute, you continue here. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. So that is which, verse 46. If you convict me of sins, which of you convict me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? And then he explained why. He who is of God hears God's words. therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. You see, the idea is when our heart, see, Jesus, the way he thought, wasn't logically, was just talking spiritual language that had to be received in the spirit. When our heart is open, then we are going to hear what he's saying. But when our heart is closed, because we are a different sonship, then we are going to be able not to hear what the things he's saying. We are going to hear the physically, but doesn't get to us. Are you understand what I'm saying? See, that's why he taught in parable. He taught in parable because, you know, if they were listening and if their heart was closed, they were getting nothing. But if their heart was open, then they would be able to perceive, understand, and grasp some of the things he was saying. He explained that very well to the disciples. Okay? So, let me continue here. John 8, verse starting from verse 42 to 47. We are 46 now. For which of you convicts me of sin? For I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. So this is really, you know, what he said, what he clarified the situation. He was speaking to them. It was pretty clear what he was saying, but they couldn't get it, and they were just reacting in a negative way. They were just rejecting what Jesus said, even if it was the truth. Okay? They had religious ideas that they had invented and were not aligned with the Word of God. Jesus was speaking the Word. Okay? So, the idea is, when we hear the Word, the ability that we have to hear God's Word, the more we are open to the Spirit of God, the more we are willing to listen, the more we want to hear and understand, the more we are going to be able to receive those things. Are you following me? You see, it works not through our logic. It works not through our mind. It doesn't work through your education. It doesn't work through anything. It works through your heart. This is why God is not a God of the physical. God is a spiritual being, and he doesn't look at the physical circumstances or the appearances. What he looks is at the heart of a person. He doesn't look at what you do because you can fool me from what you do, and you think, you know, this is a really nice person because goes around doing lots of good things, and God couldn't care less because you do it on the wrong motives. You may do much less good things, much fewer good things, but do it for the right reason, and God is going to appreciate that and reward you for that. Because what you do produces results on the way God deals with us. Okay. So, there are enormous spiritual impacts of this opening of the heart and this way that we connect with God through our heart. Which is really, you know, the manifestation of being sons of God. Okay? It's not just a theological or a theoretical statement. There is actually some practical physical manifestation connected with that, and spiritual things as well. Okay. We, to the degree that we are sons of God or children of God, and we are going to see more in detail that, you know, we are going to be more open to hear and to work according to God's way. Jesus said, you know, I do nothing unless I see my Father doing it. What was he meaning? Was saying, you know, he was doing exactly what God wanted because he knew what God wanted. He wasn't wondering, you know, what God will for me about this situation. You know, it was very clear to him. He wasn't there praying to try to figure it out. You know, he just got it because he was in communion with God. And this is being son of God means that you are in communion with God. This is one of the aspects, but there are so many more. We have to understand, you know, what is God's plan for us. When we understand, you know, what it means to be sons of God, to be connected with God, to be children of God, then we can start understanding what it means in practical way in our life to know the will of God, to be able to work toward a fulfillment, because it's not something that, you know, it's something that grows. It's something that develops. Okay? It's something that this adoption produces in us. Not many things, some of them far beyond our imagination in terms of impact. Much more wonderful than we can ever imagine. Okay? The typical example of being a son of God was Jesus. That is, he is our example. He is the goal that God has for each one of us. You want to see, you want to know God's will for you? To become like Jesus. Now, this is not just something in one place in the Bible. The whole Bible talks about that. They say, oh, my, you know, you're asking too much. You are not doing it. That's the most interesting part. He is doing it if you give him a chance. Because we cannot lift ourselves up by ourselves. He is the one that shows us, the one that directs us, the one that empowers us, the one that pulls us up. See, the way to do it through doing the right thing failed miserably in the Old Testament because it doesn't work. And the only thing he did that is so that people would know that when you try to do it according to doing the right thing, you are never going to succeed. But when he is working in you, then he is going to make you succeed and he's going to make you achieve the things that he has planned for you. But you have to be willing to participate in the process. We are co-workers with him. I mean, the only thing we do is be willing to follow his direction, and he empowers us to do the things that are going to be the good thing for us. Now, so I'm going to just summarize to start with some of the benefits or some of the results, okay, as just an initial thing just to prepare you for some of the things that are coming after. You know, the impact of this adoption, okay, where it's going to. First of all, our motivation changes, okay. They, as I already was explaining some things now, you know, the sons of God operate according to not the law, but life inside us. The word says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, says, therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, that means they have accepted what he has done, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you see, this is really the point that he's making there, okay? You are not going to go around feeling condemned. You're not going to be around putting yourself down. Okay? It's not because you say, well, you know, I'm okay. No, it's because there is nothing there to condemn you. Because you are connected. Because the Spirit of God is directing you, empowering you, and it's not the flesh. Your flesh desire that are going to be motivating you. Your motivation is changed. Says verse, the following verse, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you me free from the law of sin and death. That says it. You see, what was before, the law of sin and death, you know, is, you know, you do this, you die, no. That doesn't work. That negative input is going to be only, you know, making you fail because you're looking at the wrong thing. The law that instead wanted the new that's operating, okay, which is the law of the Spirit of life, of the all of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus. So when you are in Christ Jesus, Okay, the law of the Spirit empowers you to do the right thing. Okay, so there is a complete change, different way in which we operate. It has to do the way we do, why we do things. You see, go back to not the physical thing, but what happened internally, what makes you do certain thing. Okay, so the motivation is not anymore the fear of death. Your motivation becomes the life in you, making you want to do the things that are right. It's a lot easier. It's not natural. It's not, you know, it's effortless, actually. You are not there trying to beat up, be good, or try to do the right thing. No, it's the natural thing to do because your motivation is right. Are you following me? I mean, that's a big change. This is what brings victory instead of defeat. The other way, you are focusing on the wrong thing. Instead of being focused on life, you are focusing on death. That cannot work well. Okay, so that's number one. The second one is that our relationship with God, because at the moment, you know, that changes completely. Okay, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, because you are sons, okay, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. So you see, the Spirit of your Son, the Holy Spirit, comes to you in your heart, okay, crying out, Abba, Father. So you see, it's not that you, you know, when the Jews, the Israel, you know, children of Israel found out that God wanted to talk to them, you know, and they said, no, Moses, you talk with him, you know, we are afraid. Well, here is not, I'm afraid. You're not afraid of God anymore. You're not afraid of that he's going to blast you away because you're doing the wrong thing. He doesn't want to blast away anybody. He wants to save everybody. That doesn't mean, though, that his end, you know, he has to do things in the just way, in the right way. So he cannot break the principle that are right. Okay? But he loves you, and you start, when that sonship takes place, okay, unless, take this parallel, okay? If a child is born in a family where the father is a tyrant, is there, is always screaming and yelling and hitting them and everything else, are they going to love the father? Quite unlikely. They're going to be afraid of the father. They don't know what he's going to do next because he's neurotic, and you know, and they're not going to connect with him. But if, you know, since when he's born, he's nice to them, he cuddles them, he's, you know, being, that doesn't mean that he let them do everything they want to do. You know, he directs them in the right way. He has the right, you know, spirit. How it's going to happen? They're going to love God, you know, the Father, because their Father is good to them. This is the way happens with us spiritually. When we start understanding that God wants to minister to us, wants to help us, wants to, you know, empower us, wants to make us happy, that's what he wants, then it doesn't take much to say Abba Father, which means daddy. I mean, this is really the familiar way to direct in the original language there, is Aramaic, you know, a way to direct somebody that you really, you know, hi daddy, oh, and go there and hug them. So instead of running away from God, you go and hug, or the Father, you go and hug him, and you recognize that he loves you, and you love him back. The word said, you know, we love him because he first loved us. So you see, that experience, okay, enables us to connect with him in a completely new way. It is not in a fearful way, not thinking, well, you know, I made a mistake, now, you know, I'm going to get it. No. I mean, I'm sorry, Lord. You know, I know. Thank you. Thank you that I'm forgiven because Jesus paid for my stupidity. Are you still with me? You see, that's a major change to anybody that is religious, quotation mark, and is there condemning themselves for all the mistakes that they make. That doesn't mean you go around making the mistake. You go around listening to God so that you learn the lesson. Okay? But that, you know, the relationship is very different. Now it's a trusting, loving relationship that goes both ways. But unless you are sons, you don't have that. You know, all religions in the world, they do sacrifices to their God so that they are accepted. Our sacrifice is to offer ourselves to Him. That's it. And knowing that He wants the best for us. Okay, let me continue here. The third thing that I wanted to say is again in the same chapter of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 7, the following verse. Therefore, we no longer are slaves, but a slave by the Son. So you see, a slave is somebody that does something if he likes it or not, and he knows because the owner is going to get them. Okay? No, a son is not doing things because he doesn't want to do it, but he knows because he has to. A son does things because he wants to, because, you know, he loves the father, and the father loves him, and that's the best way for both of them. Okay? And this is the same thing with us. Okay? So, no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then the other benefit, heir of God through Christ. I mean, you know, what being an heir of a father is, means that, you know, what is the father's is yours. It comes to you, not because of your effort, it's because you are a son. Well, that's what we can expect through Jesus. So Jesus is the son. What Jesus got at the moment, he's sitting at the right hand of the father, you know, above every principalities and powers and dominion and everything that you can name. That's his heredity. That's our heredity. And you cannot see it now because we are still a bit in the way. But the time is coming. We are getting close to that. If you understand the times, if you understand what's happening today in the world, you know that God is ready to put the finger in again and says, okay, now is the time. We don't know the time when Jesus is coming the second time. Nobody knows. And everybody that says they know, they're fooling you because it's not true. Or they're fooling themselves too. Okay. God is the only one that's going to say, according to the situation, the way it goes, and he has some criteria, some things that we know, you know, but we don't know all the detail. It's going to do, you know, it's the time to push the button. And Jesus appears. Okay? So we have to understand that. So we are no longer slaves, but heirs of God. That seems to me a pretty good deal. I mean, God has everything in the world. What does it mean? Evidently the same thing. Is that what we get? Now, is that manifested at the moment? No. See, we are son to the degree in which we have responded, in which our within what's going on within ourselves is manifested the same way as Jesus. If we would have what Jesus had when he was on earth, we just be son of God right now, full son of God. But this is one of the manifestations that takes place at the end of this age. Okay, at the end of this age, there's going to be the manifestation of the Son of God, as is written, you know, for example, in Romans chapter 8 and so on. So the idea is that, you know, we are getting there. We have to understand the ages, the way God works with ages, you know, special time in which says, okay, up to now these things were there, now I'm changing it, put my finger on it, and things, you know, I send Jesus now. See, they're just Jesus always is the thing about making the transition. The second transition is when he's put the finger down again and says, okay, second time, come down. Okay? So let's continue here. We already see 3, 4. Okay. We can see that Jesus, even at the very earliest age, he understood this completely, and he knew God's will for him. That's interesting, wouldn't you say? So when I was 12 years old, you know, the family went to Jerusalem, they went to the temple, and, you know, they were all together in a caravan, and, you know, so they weren't looking at him. They just left, and Jesus wasn't with them. So they had to go back. It took 3 days to find the map. You know, he was talking with the scribes and the priest there, and the parents said, you know, to them, why did you do this to us? You know, we were concerned, we were upset, we were concerned about the fact that you weren't with us. It took 3 days to find him. Probably they weren't looking at, evidently they weren't looking at the right place. Okay. And Jesus said to them this, why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? You see, one of the things that when a son of the Father is the one that carries on the business of the Father, take care of the business of the Father. So Jesus was taking care of the Father's business. When we are sons, that's what we are going to be focused. That's what our purpose is. Our purpose become not our career, our things, or what we get, or our bank account, or other things. Our purpose become the Father's business, what he wants. So that is a complete change of your mentality involved when we really get into sonship relationship with the Father. That doesn't mean that we are not practically doing the things that need to be done, okay? But we are, you know, what the purpose of our decisions, activities, works, and so on becomes actually to serve the Father. And you can do that in many different ways. What you're trying to do is to make, you know, God's will on earth taking place. That was the Lord's Prayer. Okay. So you can see that there are these four things that I said, you know, involve something that is not the natural way to do, not what happens generally for everybody. Even if they know the Lord, even if they follow the Lord. You know, and the reason is because there is a degree in which we have come into sonship. Okay. The degree is the degree in which we reach the point inside ourselves to be connected with the Father, and our thoughts and our ideas are completely transformed into God's thoughts and ideas. Okay. When we acquire the mind of Christ in all the different aspects, so that we make decisions, we do choices, you know, our heart is directed. When God speaks, we hear him, you know, all these things that identify, you know, complete sonship. He wants to do that. So, but this is a transformation that have to take place in each one of us. You know, we can become children of God as we accept what Jesus has done, and the work start to begin in us of transformation in which we grow into this sonship relationship. Okay. And this is really, you know, what is expressed in many places in the Bible. For example, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So you see, they can't hear, the way I said before, okay? And even when we speak, don't expect people to hear and understand what you're talking about, because they are not, their heart is closed to the truth. Okay. Beloved, verse 2, now we are the children of God. It is not yet been revealed, okay, or manifested, if you want, okay, what we should be, what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, that means when he comes back the second time, okay, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You see, our eyes are going to be open. When the more our eyes are open, our spiritual eyes are open, we are going to be able to see the spiritual thing, having the knowledge of him that we need to have, and we are going to be transformed. So this, for now, this is a process taking place for us to grow into his image. See, our understanding, our realization, what is like, you know, what Jesus is like, and what God expects from us, what God has given us through what Jesus has done, appropriating all these things, okay, being redeemed from the bondage of the world, okay, that brings about this transformation, but it's a progressive thing. At the moment, we have been saved. Not that we were saved. Yeah, we were saved in a certain way, but actually there is not a full manifestation of our salvation. It's going to come only at the second coming. Okay? So, goes on here, says, verse 2. Beloved, we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed, you know, what we should be like. So, you know, that's going to be revealed. The implication is that's going to be happening. And, you know, evidently, we aren't quite there yet. It's a long way to go. But things are speeding up. You know, we can see that people grow up much faster now than a few years ago. Okay, even within my lifetime. So, when he's revealed, we shall be like him. And everyone who has this hope in him purify himself just as he is pure. You see, when we have this understanding, when we have this hope, actually it's not, oh, I hope that's going to happen. No, this is an expectation. That's what hope in the Bible means. We have an expectation of something to happen because God promised it. Okay, so those that have this expectation in us, they are working toward that. Why? Because they have the motivation to do it. Because they realize what the good things God wants to do with our life. Okay, so there is a progress. There is a process taking place of spiritual growth. And this process of spiritual growth is not evaluated in terms of years of time. Is identified in terms of milestones. The milestones are special position, spiritual position that takes place within us. Okay? You can be a child of God and remain a child of God for 60 years or 80 years or for all your life and never grow up. Because you never participated in the process. The only thing you get is, you know, some understanding, a breakthrough in that area, but then you just stayed religions like you were before and you go by the law. It's not the law that saves you. What enables you to grow and develop is the spirit, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quicken your mortal body, changes you, empowers you, and you have to participate in that process, which not come out of your own strength, but come out of a spiritual activity that takes place inside you that you are participating in with him, enabling him to do it in you. He is the one that does the work. But you have to be willing. He is not going to force anything on anybody. He doesn't manipulate people either. He wants to respond to him. That's why the first commandment is to love your God. When you love your God, you want to do the things that, you know, if you love somebody, you don't do something that displeases that person, do you? You want to do things that are pleasing them. Don't touch. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, let me take here, you know, so the looking at this process that take place, okay, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, okay, we can see this development, there are three levels, if you want, of spiritual development that we can expect. You know, verse 12 of chapter 2 of 1 John says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So this is the first level, our children. Okay, it's the equivalent, there is this uses the parallel of the physical development of us when we are physically, you know, children are young yet. They don't know very much. They have certain characteristics that are really common to the characteristics, spiritual characteristics of people coming into the Lord, and they have not developed. They don't know very much yet. Okay, very similar, but we can see in a while. Okay, says it goes on, verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And see, the fathers, okay, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. So there are these three levels. Okay. There is this, the children. There is the fathers, young men and father, following the normal things. Okay, the children are really new believers. Okay, or should be new believers. Okay, the characteristics of children that they just move by emotions. There is nothing else there. You know, they have not much reasoning. They like what they want. They are self-centered. You know, they can be cute, but they're just, that's why God made them cute. So they're easy to take. So, but that's okay. That's the way, he knows what he's doing. Okay? So, but they are self-centered. They're stubborn. They go their own way. And they are essentially motivated or operating by the flesh. Okay? Now, if they are properly raised, then they're going to be better than otherwise. Okay? But they need proper training. If they don't get training, they're going to be a mess. Okay? Now, the young men are those, he said there, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. So you see how the strength come, how the direction come inside ourselves, by the word of God working, abiding in us. You shall know the word, if you're my word is, you are in my word and my word abides in you, you shall know the truth and the truth. Truth shall make you free. He'll give you the victory. So that's the way it works. So that's the way you become strong spiritually, and that's the way you overcome the enemy. And then the fathers are really the older people that are actually starting to be able to have a family. Okay, are the one that grow up, they have children, that they can bring children to the world. Okay, this is the one that, mature believers that start to be able to minister to others, okay, and start having the characteristics of somebody looking after them instead of looking after themselves only. Even the young men, they overcome, but they overcome for themselves. Okay, now, as I said, okay, that process sometimes takes a long time. Okay, and we have to understand the way that takes place. But really, after just saying these things, John, the Gospel of John, there says in the Epistle of God, John says, give instruction to all of the three of them, and all the instruction is valid for all three of them, because no matter what level you are at, okay, you can make mistakes and you can fall. And so said here, very simply, the instruction that we have, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you see, the idea is that we should not love the world and the things of the world. For that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is in the world. So here we give us an indication and a direction of what we have to expect and how we have to be regulated. Okay? We have to be careful about the temptation that comes from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They really are simply, talking about lust, The today, the implication lust is always something sexual, but that's not, this is the desire. Has nothing to do with that. It can be that, but not just that. It's more any desire that we have that take over the desire that we have to do what God wants. Okay? So, and the word says, you know, the Father is not the Father, the love of the Father is not in him, okay, but the love of the world. And the world is passing away and the last of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So this is what gives us the strength, that will give us the persistence, that will give us victory. Okay, so the implication here is the fact that the more mature become in the Lord, the more we are going to be able to be in the will of God, because you know, we are going to understand the will of God. Our heart is going to be able to receive what God says, and we are going to be, you know, manifested in the things that we are operating. We are lining up yourself more and more with Jesus' way of doing things. Are you following me? See, that shows clearly, you know, what and how does that transformation take place. Well, that is called the renewal of the mind. We talked about that many times of that, you know, and it's given in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, you know, in which describes the process that takes place in the mind. But doesn't describe it in detail enough, so one has to see other scripture to understand it. But really, is the way the word works in us, and the word becomes start affecting us in different areas of our life, that is what produces the change. It's not us, but it's the change that took place as the word minister to us and start changing the way we think inside. I'm going to skip something here on what I prepare, because we don't have the time to go through this. It says here, you know, there is a scripture, actually, in 1 Corinthians, that helps us to understand the changes that the renewal of the mind is going to bring about. Okay. In verse 13, and never used for that, but that's really this, give us the secret. Okay, I thought about that before, but I think this is another scripture that shows that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I'm using the English Standard Version because uses better word in the terms of the way we at the moment on this. Anyway, for understanding what I'm talking about. It says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Okay. Here, he shows us three things. I spoke like a child. You know, a child, one of the characteristics that you see right away when somebody really gets saved, come to know the Lord, one of the first things that changes is that they don't swear anymore. The Lord convicts them and they stop swearing. Hopefully. The thing is, that's not what he's talking about. That's only the beginning. You see, our words that are very important, because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so we have to realize that everything that we say, and you know, we can go in study the book of James, you know, goes in detail into that. But you know, what happens is that we change our thinking and our words that are going to line up with the word of God. Because the things that we say are the things that bring materialization of the things that happen in our life. If we believe it or not, that's the way salvation happens. We believe in our heart first, and then we speak it with our mouth. We just say, we agree it, and we, you know, that's the manifestation, and sooner or later the manifestation is going to be there. The problem is that when there are things that we believe in our heart that are not the things that God wants us to have, and we speak them out, those are going to happen too. Because it works by what we have, faith or unbelief, whatever it is. And the consequence of that is that unless we change our way of speaking, because we change the way we think, we are going to mess up our life just by the things that we believe. Because we cannot appropriate the things that God wants to give us. So we had to align up our mind, you know, align up our word with the word of God. That's easy enough to recognize, because if you start knowing what you say to yourself and what you say and doesn't line up with the word of God, you are actually saying bad things. God wants you to think this way he thinks, and you're going to get what he wants for you. Okay, so that's number one thing. The other one is thoughts. Actually, the word thought is not really a good translation anyway. You know, the word in Greek is phroneo, which actually means attitude. It's connected with feelings, connected with decision, connected with judgment. So, you know, one of the things that has to change is the way you feel about things, the way your attitude is, and the way you judge things that you see around yourself. Are you following me? So one of the results of this renewal of the mind is not just mind thing. You know, all your feelings are going to change. The way you judge things, the way you say, you know, this is right, this is wrong, you know, it changes everything. But that comes according to the word, because you have accepted the word. So again, go back to the word. And finally, you know, the final thing is, and I reasoned like a child. So the reasoning is really has to do with, the word there is logos dimai, which actually is the logic things that has to do with the logos, so the thought. So the logic level, the reasoning that you have is starting to be the way God reasons. Which is really sometimes not the way the world thinks. You know, given shall be given unto you. What the world thinks that? No, given, I get some more. So you see, it's not the way the world thinks. You know, the way God thinks is really sometimes completely the opposite of what the world believes. Okay. So, I'm going to try to land now. I'm just trying. few more seconds. There is another scripture I want to read for you. See, you have to participate. God will expect you to participate in this process. He's not going to force it on you. He's going to come, the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you. He's going to try to convince you. He's going to try sometime to convict you that you feel, you know, this is not going to do very good. You know, all these things. But he's not going to force you. It's the decision you had to make. See, because out of that decision, he can reward you. That's the way why he gives you these things, because it's your decision that counts. Okay? So, the thing is, we often don't do the participation, or you don't participate in the way he wants. We just get stuck and stagnate. Well, not a new thing. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says something. Says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principle of the oracle of God. You need milk, not solid food. So what he's saying, you know, you cannot have solid food to make you strong and to make you grow. You still need to suck the milk, because you can't digest anything else. Something, you know, solid food is more difficult to digest. So you have to develop the strength to digest it. So let me continue. For anyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. You see, if you are a child, if you are a baby, the only thing you can get is milk. So you have to be trained to develop that ability. Okay, if never give you any solid food, you're still going to still not be able to do it. So there is a training involved. But says solid food is for the mature, For those who had their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So you see, that's the way we grow. And we had to be trained in doing that. We had to learn that. But if we don't do that, if we refuse to do that, if we are lazy, or if we are not exposed to the proper teaching, or we are not listening enough, we are going to get stuck, and we're going to stay baby. That's why sometimes you can get somebody who's been there Christian for 50 years and still babies. Still just emotional and not any understanding and any strength, any spiritual strength. Okay, so let me close here. We want to be able to grow, to receive solid food, which is, you know, said it here before. Where is it? Yeah. Unskilled, if you are a baby, you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. What is the word of righteousness? See, the word of righteousness is the word that makes you righteous. I mean, it corrects you, it fixes you up. You know, people that are baby, the only thing they can say, well, you know, Jesus died for me, and they stay there, and for the rest of their life, they're making the same mistakes and never grow up. Well, if you are, you know, trained in the word of righteousness, you start working out the detail, and those things are not there anymore, and you're going to be walking the right way. You're going to walk in victory. You're going to have experiences completely different. You're not there dealing with the problem you had when you were just born again. So that's my encouragement I have for you today, is to be willing to start this process of growth that you cannot achieve by yourself. It's not by doing Bible studies only. Yeah, you need Bible study so that you know the scripture, otherwise you have nothing to base yourself on. Okay, but what you need is the word, you need the proper environment, and you need the proper help to get there. And those are all different things that you can actually choose. And we're going to see more about that next week. Okay, but you know, there are understanding the benefit, the glory of God manifested in us when we become more and more like Jesus is worth all the work that we had to contribute in the process. So let's pray together. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good plan that you have for each one of us. We thank you that we know, Lord, that we can come to you to grow, to get better, to become more like Jesus, to have in us everything that we need to receive from you, to appropriate the change that you have planned for us. And we thank you, Lord, that is not our work, that is your blessings, your grace, your power manifested in us. And Lord, we are willing to say yes to you and to follow your direction and to listen to your word and become better and better to hear from you and receive direction in our life so that we are transformed, metamorphosized through your power in becoming like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.